listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa and Jonathan Todd, right here on LA Talk Radio.
From LA, Ilona Europa. I know that Jonathan Todd, my dear husband, enjoys Maui again, although he calls this work. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi, dear wife. I am working.
Oh, I hope so you do. I know that we have lots of surprises today. We have wonderful guests in the studio, but like always, I think the most important is to start our show on a very, very high note. And we have our wonderful guest, John Johnson, with his segment. Let's hear from John.
Thanks, Alona and Jonathan. Hello, everyone. This is John Johnson for Firefly, Igniting the Soul. And today, I want to talk about this idea of not giving away your personal power. If you think about athletes and movie stars, the social elite, even politicians, we live in a society of celebrity culture where names and faces repeatedly grab the headlines and are oftentimes a distraction from more important world news. I came across an interesting poll recently that was taken of young people who were either about to graduate high school or just entering their first year of college. And they were asked this question: what dream profession would they most love to have? The majority of the students responded by saying that their dream job was working for a celebrity so that they could be near all the excitement. Now, speaking from my own personal experiences, actually working with A-list celebrities over the course of my career, I think that these students might want to aim their sights a little higher. All right, in fact, I think they need to aim their sights a lot higher. In finding my path to my own calling, there was an expression that I discovered that really helped me stay on track and keep moving forward towards my goals. And that was, don't give your personal power away. And what it really means is that rather than focusing on the importance of fame and fortune and notoriety of others, take time to cultivate your highest potential. But I also have noticed lately that not only are we giving our power away to celebrities, but we do it in other ways as well. I think that many people often give their personal power away when they're easily angered, which gives credence to the whole expression again of he who angers you conquers you. If you don't spend time developing your emotional intelligence, you will find that in many situations, you easily give up your personal power. Emotional intelligence is the ability to identify, understand, and really manage your emotions in positive ways in order to communicate more effectively, develop more empathy towards others, and to really help you diffuse conflict. So here's the secret key. If you learn to develop a higher emotional intelligence, you'll be able to recognize your own emotional state and the emotional state of others so that when you engage with people, you will actually draw them towards you. You can use this understanding of emotions to relate better to other people, form healthier relationships, I think achieve greater success at work, and lead more fulfilling lives. I think that one thing that really successful people have learned is that emotional intelligence is a large component of self-esteem and empowerment. And empowerment is all about the cultivation of your inner resources to accomplish personal goals and reach for the stars, rather than, I think, reading about them in the tabloids. Emotional intelligence and empowerment as personal management skills, I think, are in short supply these days because people so easily and eagerly give it away. So learn a lesson from my experience. Don't give your personal power away. So ask yourself this question. How much of your time and energy is being focused on professional sports, the Hollywood elite, or even politicians? You see, spending too much time with tabloids and late-night talk shows might be entertaining, but are you giving your power away to the celebrity culture? Take stock of your life and redirect your energies inward. It's time to step up to meet your highest potential. It's time to reclaim your personal power. This world, our world that we all live in, I think needs a lot more heroes, not celebrities. For more of my daily thoughts or to share your personal power stories, please visit the John Johnson official fan page on Facebook. For Firefly on Accent On, this is John Johnson challenging you to start living your life like the dream you have is real. And now let's get back to my favorite empowered couple, who I think should have their own TV show, because when you're around these two, I swear it's like watching an episode of I Love Lucy. Alona and Jonathan, back to you guys.
I just love it. Don't give away your personal power. I really think that's so important to remember. It's true. We love celebrities. We are looking up to them. We try to imitate their lives. We try to find dirt about them. But I think if we can take something from celebrity, I would like to look into what they are doing great for life, for the charities, for good stuff. They really change, because we have a lot of great guys and girls who are famous, and they just really quietly change the worlds of others, and focus supposed to be on that. But our powerful life, it depends on us. What do you think, Jonathan?
I'm still thinking about the Lucy and the Desi Arnaz analogy. I don't know how. I mean, I appreciate that. I just don't understand how John thinks that I'm like Lucille Ball. But.
I really, really think we need to set this straight. I think you are in a way a Lucy, and I am the accented husband of hers.
Are you Desi Arnaz? Lucy, I'm home.
Yeah, in a way, I don't know. We are changing our position, but obvious, we are bickering very often like they did, and I claim to think that we are really funny people, and we live life, and we try to not give our power, personal power, to anybody. We just try to connect people who have a power to live fun life and live daydreams with us. And I think John Johnson is the exemplar, a great example. That's the English word. People help me here. I know I have Italian gentlemen with me in the studio. I have a wonderful, a girl who has an accent, but she's an American, and soon I will also tell her name. But when it comes to Stephanie, the perfect English-speaking girl, she just doesn't care. Example, John Johnson is just a lovely gentleman who just need to remind us of that. Yes, then, yeah, let's don't give away our personal power, and let's build the power up every moment of our lives and enjoy this moment. Yes, honey?
I'm with you. I'm just happy to have people like John in our life who can synthesize all the muck and mess that goes on in the world and just come back out with something that's so straightforward and clear when it comes out of him, and so muddled when it comes out of other people, and just give you something to think about every day. It's worth going to his site and see what he's musing about on a rather regular basis, because it's uplifting and it gives you a chance to just take a breath and think about things in maybe another light. So really appreciate John being part of our world.
We love you, John. We love your thoughts and your mottos, and just cannot wait for next week and see what you'll be talking about. Okay. Hey, I need to say that we have in studio wonderful people. We are coming back. Did we have Mimo Capuano.
Hi.
And Mimo has an accent. He's from Italy, right. Although he speaks better and better English, and I am just a little bit angry, because one day if he starts speaking without accent and I'm only the one who cannot get rid of my accent, that's not fair. Yes, Mimo, tell us something in Italy, like, oh, it's a beautiful day today.
In Italian?
Yes, in Italian.
Oggi è una bellissima giornata.
Oh, and please say, Ilona and Jonathan, I love you so much.
Ilona e Jonathan, vi voglio tanto bene, perché because in Italian we have two ways to say I love you. There is a love you for love. Okay. To a girl, to a woman, is a love. It's identical. to people, yeah, to friends.
Oh, okay.
It's different. But, yeah.
But you still love us, like a friend and like a
friend. Yeah, I love you.
I know you love us, and we love
you
too. I cannot wait. Mimo is doing very well in America. Yes, he is just getting a lot of jobs. We know that he's a wonderful composer, and he's composing for movies. He's doing a lot of great job with Cleopatra Records, which we are proud of him. And, hey, we'll find out soon the next hit that he's producing in America this time, not in Italy anymore. Okay, and okay, now to my, I will say first, Stephanie. Stephanie is always with me. She's my, always with me. She's my brain when it comes to English language and when I'm very, very confused. And Jonathan is not around to confuse me even more. She straightened me up and I know what I'm talking about. And then I have our guest and I'm very, very happy about it because her name is Sherry. Please. Pedigo?
Very good.
I did it right.
Yes, you did. Most people call me Petticoat and Pettigrew and
oh, I mean,
everything else.
And
so.
Sherry. Sherry is a singer-songwriter. She will soon explain us everything what she wants us to know about her in a very, very short time. But before that, I think we need to just play her song. Mimo!
Show me the way to your heart. I am searching, but I'm drifting apart. Everything's gone far away. Here we're standing now with no words.
love this song. I think we will dedicate one more time the song to John. I know he's maybe not listening right now, but you loved this song. I sent you MP3 and you asked me who sings this beautiful song. Now you know, this is a Sherry song, and for sure she's not giving away her personal power, because we have very powerful singer-songwriter here with amazing voice, and the song is just beautiful. Can you tell us a little bit more about yourself, Sherry?
Well, I'm from Nashville, Tennessee, and
that's the accent from.
Yeah. And I moved out here 10 years ago to work on a TV show as an actress, and I ended up staying here. I never thought I'd actually stay in Los Angeles, but I ended up staying. And I could write a book on my life from here, from moving to Los Angeles to Europe, to all the roads that I've traveled and all the incredible people that I have met and worked with. I had the honor to have worked with this song in particular. The reason why I chose this song to send to you, this is one of the few songs I did not write that I actually recorded. And the reason I recorded this song is because the actual artist on this song was this song. This was a huge hit in Europe. You would have probably heard this in Italy, because the band that did this song was from Lugano, Switzerland, the Italian part of Switzerland,
okay.
Gotthard.
Okay.
And Steve Lee was a lead singer. And I had went over to Switzerland 4 years ago, 2009, what year are we in? 2009, 3 years ago, I can't remember, 3 years ago now. And I was over there touring, and I had the honor of meeting the lead guitar player, because I sang in his grotto in Tesserete, Switzerland.
I love the accent.
And,
Italian.
And I was singing my song, J'ai besoin d'amour, in French.
No, you know French too?
Yeah, I am French, actually. My bloodline's French. My grandfather was French, and I never got to meet my grandfather. He was a violinist, and he was an amazing musician and photographer as well. But I went over there to perform and travel in Switzerland, and I love Switzerland.
It's beautiful.
Love it. And so I met the lead guitar player, Leo Leone, and he heard me sing my song. I was playing the guitar, just singing in the back room. I wasn't even performing that night. That was my first night in Switzerland.
This always happened. This is the stories that we like to hear. And you just play gently in your own small room, and you don't even know that somebody's walking.
I didn't know they were famous. I didn't even know who they were.
Yay!
And I took his guitar off the wall, actually, and was playing to... At the time, I didn't realize it was the lead singer's best friend from Zurich. And then Leo heard me. It was back in the soccer was really... You know, the big tournaments were going on. They were all watching soccer down below in the restaurant. And I was at the opening of the grotto. It was the opening of this restaurant. And I was just, there was a lot of people there. And I just had flown in that morning. And that was my first night in Switzerland. And I had shows the next 3 weeks in Switzerland. He heard me, said, can you come down here and play for us?
Wow.
And this song was all over their walls. I mean, the triple platinum records were posted everywhere of the song. And when I heard it, I said, I cried. I said, this is my life story of why I came to Switzerland, because I actually came there because I broke up with a guy. I didn't break up with him.
Another country hit.
Yeah, and so this song was on a rock record. It was not, I put a steel guitar player and produced it actually in Malibu, which is where I'm headed tonight when I leave the studio, with a producer, Gary Cook. He produced this on me, and we got all the musicians. I sent the files to Nashville. It had a steel guitar player put on it. And we countried it up. I sent it back to Switzerland. It's a long story, actually. I can't have a lot of time to tell it. But I had a song with the lead singer. That I ended up meeting him through the lead guitar player. He introduced me. He came to my shows. I ended up co-writing for their next record, which was their 12th record. It went triple platinum twice. I had the title number 6 track on there called Breakaway that I co-wrote with Steve. I ended up on a triple platinum record from that one little situation of playing the guitar in the back room.
Sherry, I just love stories like that. My life is full of stories like that, mm-hmm. but I still believe that your journey and you taking your chances and just traveling all around and singing for everybody, take your chances in L.A., creating the country music,
yeah.
and you are from Nashville, you're doing backwards, then you are going to Europe, you know, you are just singing out loud something that you like to sing. You know, we are creating our own situation, hopefully for luck.
It's the truth. And I left Nashville to come here, and it seems like I'm always running from guys, but I literally moved here, came here to work on a TV show, and I had ended a relationship there. And for me, the only way to ever heal is to get away from the familiar. Because if you stay in that same place and you see the same the same yeah. trees, the same, you know, parks
yeah,
you went
it
to.
You.
It's
reminds
not healthy.
You. Yes, I agree.
So
with
I
you.
Said, I'm leaving. I hired a promoter. I'm going to Switzerland within 3 months. I was so heartbroken over this guy. And the one in Nashville, I just knew I had to break up
but
with him. I was 21.
But she wrote a lot of good songs because of that, I'm sure.
Oh, I wrote some. I really. Breakaway.
I don't know. I've been seeing the same scenery for 23 years with my wife, and she writes Billboard charting hits. She doesn't need to get depressed over breaking up with me.
Oh, don't say. Every time when I'm in a bad mood because you make me angry, I'm just going to studio and write how my life is, I don't want to say, you know, sad. And then you wake up in the morning, you make me this good coffee with this beautiful foam and a heart on it. I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to write upstairs very happy song. And then I'm
yeah,
calling
you. You don't know this, but every time that we need money, I just piss you off so that you go write something.
I love you.
Now, then you give me another hit and then I get money again.
That's why you are so pissy all the time. This is the English word.
Well, haven't you ever wondered how come I'm so nice and then I get pissy? What's that?
Anyway, I love you, honey. Love your support. I know, you know, you are the believer because you have no choice. You need to believe in me. And for 23 years, I'm just telling him, hey, Grammy on the wall is coming. Wait, you need to stick with me. I know. But you know what? Sherry is doing very similar way. I think she's still on the searching for her wonderful man in her life. And hopefully she will never leave L.A. because now she's my friend forever. She sings beautifully. And you know.
I tend to believe my man is in Europe. I do.
No, you're missing the whole point. Your European man is sitting right next to you, Domenico Capuano.
Oh,
he's single.
He's single and he's an amazing artist. And what can I say? I'm sure you both would like
each other. I love woman from the Midwest.
Look,
oh my goodness! I was just in Italy. I was in San Remo, Italy, in March. I was performing at the festival there in March at the San Remo Festival.
Anyway, yeah? If it's not love that will right now happen between both of them, then for sure there will be great. Amore, friendships.
Interesting.
Cher, I'm not in the studio today. I'm stuck on this rock called Maui. Poor me. A little humid today, but I got to tell you, as long as you're going to get into a relationship with a European, you might as well take Domenico and get all the writing and composing in the deal. You know what I mean?
I know.
Absolutely.
He wants his 20% of artists. No,
also, we met like a scene of a movie, not today, because we were in the
elevator.
Can you explain that?
Oh, it's in the elevator.
Yeah, it's beautiful. In elevator, it's like a movie, no?
Yeah.
And I said, hold the elevator. Me, I about broke the door down to get in.
And then I start to push all the buttons in the elevator to make her come inside the elevator. And after, like, you know, stand like this.
You got taller and she cool girl, hey. Beautiful.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
We love you, Sherry. You know, Sherry, you will be back in our Accent On, obvious, because you have more songs that we need to play. But if people would like to know more about you, you just give us every places and obvious, come to Facebook, to Accent On Facebook, because then we have printed all the information about Sherry. And please, Sherry, where we can find you?
Well, I know I'm performing, let's see, the 31st, is it? You know, my website has my information because I don't always keep up with where I'm performing at. But it's my name is spelled Sherry Pedigo, SherryPedigo.com. And I usually have most of my dates on there. But you also can email me through my website. And you Google my name, you'll find me. I'm all over the place.
Oh, my gosh. But you have also Facebook.
Oh, yeah. I have a fan page on Facebook, and I'm a member of many sites, so that I have Django Music plays my music. iTunes, I'm on Amazon. I'm all over the internet.
Then we have
so.
A date. You will come soon to us, and we'll talk about what's happened between you and Dominique.
Yeah.
And then what's the song you are writing. And I see that you are right now on the way to Malibu, yes, to create probably wonderful songs, and they are countryish, rockish.
Yeah.
I like your look. You are little leatherish, little country, little rock.
I've sang everything. I actually have a dance track that went 25 in Europe that was signed on Refuge Records 2 years ago.
Now I see connection between you and Mimo even more, because I don't know if you know, he created most of his for Eiffel 65, and this is like one of the biggest, you know, dance electronica band in Europe for many, many years. And in America, you will...
It's really new to me, because they found me and contacted me. They thought my voice was like Madonna's on the tracks, and this is the easiest thing I've ever written is dance music. It's like... I went in 10 minutes and I had the song done, and I sent the files over. I thought, well, okay, whatever, you know. And the next thing I know, they signed me to a label, and then it went 25 in the dance charts, and it was on DJ Energy's last compilation.
Wonderful.
He chose a song, and it's called Caravan. And I wrote that in 10 minutes. I just finished another track called Sexy Tonight that I wrote.
Don't say this out loud to all DJs who just claim that working on a dance track takes them 50 years sometimes, because I agree with you. You know, writing good hits sometimes takes 10 minutes.
Well, I don't compose the tracks. I wrote the lyrics and sang the melody, created the melody and the lyrics to their track, which was so easy for me. I literally made it up on the spot.
We have a Domenico, yes?
Yes, no, we are waiting for a call. Are we waiting for a call?
Yes, we will be having...
Yeah, because there is a call, it's coming.
Can we ask our Dallas plastic surgeon, DJ Verrett, to wait for 1 second, because I want to talk to Stefanie. She has some tiny little things that she wants to say to us. Okay, Stefanie, what is your topic today?
All right, well, I'm sending out a call to a very specific community. I am searching for a gay friend, gay best friend, a male gay best friend, just to specify. I have enough lesbians in my life, and I need a male homosexual. And I just, you know, it's not fair, because I grew up watching Will and Grace. She had two. She had Will and Jack, and I'm all alone, no gay best friend, just regular friends, and it's hurtful. But I realized that with only 1.7% of the adult population identifying as a homosexual, I'm beginning to think that there aren't enough gay best friends to go around. And I'm thinking that it might be, you know, even harder to find a gay best friend than it would be to find a husband if I was 50. So I have taken eHarmony's suggestion and answered a few questions. The biggest influence in my life is Judy Garland. Ugly babies, other people's misfortunes, and share make me laugh. The biggest goal in my life right now is to find a gay best friend. I was chatty as a child, and I enjoy making fun of people. So any gay men out there, if you are looking for a sassy, fabulous young lady, find my blog, spoonfulofsplenda.wordpress.com, and contact me.
Okay, let's help you to find your wonderful gay friend. I have lots of them. That I love the spirit, and they always dress me up. They just think, you know, I am the diva, underground diva, and that's what we love. Then I cannot wait for your another thoughts for, you know, maybe next 2 weeks from now. Okay, Stefanie?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We have a guest who is waiting for us, and he's calling from Dallas, and I would like to say hi to DJ. Hi, DJ. Sorry for waiting to wait.
Hi, Alona. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine. You are in Dallas. Jonathan is in Maui. I'm in Los Angeles. You know, I don't know where is John Johnson right now, because he's always on a plane, but he's somewhere. I have Scott Liefried with Jonathan in Maui also, but you know what? This segment is all about you. Hi, how are you?
Great. I wish we were all in Maui instead, actually.
I think Jonathan can make this happen. I think with his opening of restaurant soon in August, maybe we'll make some special announcement about that. Jonathan, you need to take care of it. You just invite everybody, and hey, we'll be enjoying the company of the biggest stars in the world, rock stars, and of course, great food that Scott is preparing for his guests. Okay, I know, DJ, that you have a really important lesson for us to learn, and you will want to break some myths, medical myths. What we are talking today about?
Well, today I thought we'd talk about kind of back-to-school myths, because unfortunately, you know, summer is quickly drawing to a close for a lot of the listeners out there or their children, and there are a lot of myths surrounding kind of coming back to school. So I thought we could maybe go through a few of those today and maybe again next week to kind of tantalize people and dispel some of the myths that are out there and reinforce some of the truth that maybe some people think are myths. So I think, you know, we'll kind of go through those.
You see, I am the most interested today, interested in one of your topic. Should you treat a burn with ice? In honor of your segment today, when I was curling my hair, I burn my finger, and I read it, and I run very fast, and under cold water, then I run and found the ice and put it, you know, ice on the top of my finger, but still was hurting for like another 30 minutes. Then I just want to know what you say, what I did wrong, what I did right. After 30 minutes, start hurting, but maybe you can start from this one.
Well, you did. You were half right on that one. And the myth itself is that you should treat a burn with ice. And that is actually a myth. You can make it worse if you use ice.
I have no finger left.
Oh, I hope not. So what happens, the half, what you did initially when you use cold water on the burn, that is actually what you want to do. Okay. You want to go ahead and either submerge it in cold water, run cold water out of the faucet, and run your finger underneath it. And that will cool the surrounding tissue that was burned so that it doesn't cause any more damage. The problem is, in a burn, oftentimes you can end up deadening or killing a bunch of the nerve cells that provide sensation in the finger.
Ouch.
And when you apply ice, the outer layer of skin has already been broken by the burn. You can actually make the burn even worse by freezing the tissue because of the ice that you've been applying to it.
I'm so happy I'm not violinist right now. Okay, you'll be laughing. I have Mimo, who shows his burn arm. I have Sherry, who she got burned. I have my finger, honestly, with my ring, not the middle finger. I burned tip of my... This is very important, and for all moms, especially when their children are going to schools, and, you know, it's very important to know that cold water, this is an answer, yes? Not ice.
And then taking care of it after. So now that you've gotten feeling a little bit better, you know, that outer layer of skin has been burned off probably. And so you want to protect it until that outer layer of skin grows back in a week or two usually. So you want to put like polysporin ointment and antibiotic ointment on it and keep it nice and moist until that outer layer of skin has regrown.
May I allow my two dogs lick my fingers? Because they always do. Is it good or bad?
You know, that's bad.
Okay, no licking.
This is still family radio.
Domenico has
something. I remember something that I saw in a small town in Italy. There was this old woman that got burned with a coffee.
Yes.
And very hot coffee.
Yeah.
And she put on the skin potatoes. She cut potatoes and put the potatoes, and she said that the acid, something liquid from the potatoes, is true.
We'll see. Maybe there's another myth, or maybe there's something truth about that. I'm not asking Dr. DG right now answer this very important question. We'll have an answer probably next week, but we have lots of more from DJ. Okay, will eating raw carrots improve your eyesight? What do we think, people in studio? Yes or no?
I've been juicing for 3 weeks, carrots.
And you see better?
I see better.
Am I younger every second when you look at me?
Yes.
Okay, what do you think? Okay, DJ.
Yes, it is proven to make you look younger, so you should keep doing that.
Okay, what about eyes? Because I'm blinder and blinder.
Well, you know, the myth out there was perpetuated from actually the Second World War, because the British soldiers and the British fighter pilots in the airplanes used to say that their ability to go and shoot down the Nazi aircraft was because they were eating carrots more, because they wanted to keep it a secret that they had radar capabilities at that point in time.
Oh.
So in reality, it doesn't help you all that much. But it can actually help with night vision. It won't help with just reading or improving your vision that way, but it can help with night vision. And it works through a process of the vitamin A, the beta carotene in the carrots that's absorbed, and that works on some of the receptors in the eye that are receptive to light. And so while it may not improve your vision just overall, it can actually improve your night vision.
And now everybody needs to laugh, because I'm always coming back to my country. We didn't have bronzing in Poland many, many, many years ago. And all young students in the winter were just having carrots, you know, juice from the carrot, and we're putting on our faces. We looked orange. not mm-hmm. different than Jersey Shore people, but we were orange, and that was from healthy, you know, type of bronzing. But I'm not saying to somebody to do that, but yeah, it gives you this nice orange color on your face. Maybe that's why I like orange.
And actually, you bring up a very good point, because if you eat too many raw carrots or juice too much carrot, mm-hmm. you can actually get the orange tint to your skin everywhere.
Okay, let's be careful with that. We don't want orange people running around. Green people we know about, but, you know, the orange, no. Okay. Now, another topic. Is hand sanitizer better than soap and water?
Ah, now that's a really good one. What does everybody in the studio think?
Absolutely. Hand sanitizer is not better than soap and water, depending upon the soap, if it's glycerin, if it's natural, or if it's got a lot of chemicals in it.
Look at you. Hit some topic that you are knowledgeable about.
I love it. A good authoritative answer there.
We agree with Sherry. Okay, Sherry, you were very strong about that. I'm not saying anything else. What do you think, DJ?
And Sherry is absolutely correct. Hand sanitizer is good. There have been some studies on it to show it does decrease bacterial and viral loads on the skin. So if you don't have access to anything else, and particularly in children where it may be difficult to get them to actually wash their hands appropriately, hand sanitizer is a good substitute. But particularly if you have excess dirt on the hands, hand sanitizer won't work very well. And it's been shown in several studies that hand sanitizer does not sanitize as well as good old soap and water. Now, the flip side to that is the appropriate time to use soap and water is actually for 20 seconds. So it's singing your ABCs all the way to Z is the right amount of time to wash your hands to really get the full effect of the soap and water.
And interesting. Then let's not kill our children and scream at them if they just wash for 10 seconds and run. That's okay.
You
let
know
them
what?
Just wash their hands.
You know what I use? Hydrogen peroxide for everything, cleaning everything, because it kills every virus. It kills anything. Don't you agree with that, doctor?
Pretty
that
the hydrogen radical peroxide?
Peroxide's actually good. In fact, I use it. I have our postoperative patients use that to clean their incisions. And it is very good for that. It also helps to remove scabs. And scabs on a healing incision or a healing cut are protective, and they probably have more of an evolutionary function where they would protect when we didn't have good antibiotics or good cleaning techniques. But now you actually want to dissolve the scab because your body has to dissolve the scab before it actually heals anything. So using the peroxide is actually important there. On a longer term basis, you do have to be careful with it. It is very drying to the skin. And obviously, if you get it in your hair, you can end up bleaching your hair.
So
you do need to be a little careful with that.
That's what I love
to do. Oh, man, you just sold Alona Europa 10 gallons of peroxide.
No, that's what I was doing in Europe.
Now she knows she can bleach her hair with it.
When I was young, honey, that's what I was doing. I was just putting this peroxide on my hair and just, I was blonde, and I'm blonde still. Anyway.
You're still young, Ilona.
Thank you so much. We have another question.
I solved the hand sanitizing problem, DJ. I figured it out. The whole point of sanitizing your hands is because your hands come in contact with your mouth and your nose when you bring hand to mouth, because a dirty hand is not a bad thing. It's just a dirty hand in your mouth is a bad thing. So I carry around the little Purell, and to be sure I'm safe before eating, I just pour it in my mouth and swish.
Let's not do that in home. Okay, no.
Please don't do that at home.
Yeah, we don't listen
only,
to John.
That's only for well-trained professionals.
Okay.
The aloe flavor is fantastic, by the way.
Oh, yeah, we don't want that, Jonathan. We don't listen to you anymore because we have bigger problem in front of us. Can reading in the dark cause vision problems?
I want to know the answer to this
one. I want it too.
Oh, okay. Well, let's take our survey in the studio there.
Absolutely.
I know, DJ. I know you are little taking me this in funky places. I will say, doesn't matter. You know, does not matter.
I think reading in the dark is very bad for your eyes, but it's okay to watch certain videos in the dark.
Gosh, you need me there, Jonathan. It's disgusting. Everybody says together.
Yuck.
Okay, we don't like.
No, I'm talking about like the Matrix and stuff that's got really good content.
What are you talking
about?
That's very, very good comeback. I love you for that. Anyway, DJ, please.
That's horrible, guys. Ew, everybody over in Maui is going, ew.
You won this one, but we don't trust you anyway because we don't believe you. Can Reading in the dark causes vision problems. I say no. You said yes. Sherry says yes. Stephanie wants to know. What do you think?
Yes.
You think yes causes problem.
Okay, he only said yes because I said yes.
Okay. Doctor.
Hey, Scott.
We want to hear from Liebfried doctor.
Scott Liebfried from the Maui studio. Hold on for a minute. Scott Liebfried, master chef. You know everything that there is to know about the culinary arts, which includes reading recipes. Therefore, you know the answer to this. Can reading in the dark hurt your eyesight? Yes or no, Scott Chef Liebfried?
Yes.
That was very short. Okay, DJ, time for you.
The doctor and the answer is no.
Hey!
Ilona is correct.
Ha! Say I won $1. I love that. Why?
Now, it does not damage your eyes, but it can cause eye strain. Now, the eye strain is no walk in the park. I mean, you can get kind of tired feeling. It can burn a little bit, but it doesn't cause any true damage to the eye. So don't worry about reading in the dark. And Jonathan, if you want to watch movies in the dark, you're okay, too.
Okay.
All I know is that I had to get rid of my Kindle because when I was in bed trying to read in the dark, you can't see it. So something's wrong with my eyes.
My people in the studio, they have some connection. I still am talking about Domenico and Sherry. They just laugh, and we don't know why.
Love connection.
We will find out later. Okay, DJ, DJ Verrett, it's very important for us to know this last for today question. Do vitamin C supplements help ward, that's the English way, of colds? Ward? That I never
ward.
Heard this word.
Ward off.
Ward off.
Ward off. Okay, DJ, please say this one line very clearly because obviously my English is funky when it comes to this one. Can you repeat in your own English way?
Not a problem. So do vitamin C supplements help you to ward off a cold, basically help you prevent getting a cold?
Okay, and I will say I know that vitamin C is washed out of our organism after a certain amount of us taking them. That I will say probably not. Probably you just take your vitamins, but I don't think some more of vitamins will help you with this. I know the chicken soup helps you. I don't know why, but you will talk about this later. What do you think, people in my studio? Sherry?
It depends on the vitamin C. It depends on if it's what quality of vitamin C it is and where the source comes from.
Okay.
And yes, it does ward off colds.
You think?
Yes, because it builds the immune system. It strengthens the immune system. And if you do, I just told my friend last night, he was sick. I said, you need to take... You go get the good quality vitamin C, and I told him what kind to get. And, there's all kinds of vitamin C's on the market. There's a lot of those fizzling powders, you know, but they have a lot of ascorbic acid in them, ascorbic acid. But you want a really high quality vitamin C, and if you take it every hour, every 2 hours, you know, you can actually heal yourself.
Stephanie,
you know?
What do you think?
I think... Sort of, Sherry, it depends on the vitamin C. I'm going to say sometimes.
Okay, and Domenico short, because we need doctors.
I don't know if I understood the right question.
Let's just
say yes.
We are talking about vitamin C.
Yeah, about
vitamin.
I know that A and B are dangerous if you get too much, but C, I know, is okay. You just release...
need a doctor on
just
this
say yes,
one.
Baby.
No.
Jonathan.
Jonathan, is the chef still around? I'd like his input, too, on that one.
I'm watching the
chef. The chef and I are sharing the same opinion. I can tell by his eyes. First of all, the value of vitamin C isn't to ward off the cold, but rather to potentially shorten the duration of the effect. Secondly,
he read something on the Google. I see, I smell. You just went. That's the fakiness.
It's almost immediately passed through your system in the urinary tract. So you need a time release or rose hips based vitamin C in order to keep a long term of it. The chicken soup that you're referring to is good for you because it has a meat stock broth, which is essentially water, and it forces fluids. Fluids helps flush the stuff out of your
Jonathan,
system.
Jonathan, next time you want yes or no. We don't want to listen to you. I want to hear what Dr. DJ tells us.
Scott has to chime in, too. But vitamin C does ward off scurvy. So if you feel like you have scurvy, you should eat an orange or a citric fruit. Scott, vitamin C, ward off colds, yes or no?
I'm going with no. The only time I've ever had a cold and healed myself quickly was through good old-fashioned homemade chicken noodle soup.
Yes!
Yeah, baby.
Okay, Dr. DJ Verrett, we need to know that.
And we will give the most points to Mr. Jonathan Todd on that one. He is actually correct. So vitamin C does not prevent you from getting a cold, but the research does show that it does decrease the length of time that you have the symptoms.
Wow.
So it is good, but it's not going to prevent you from getting a cold.
Oh, I like that answer. It's so just beautiful and clean.
I do want to thank my mother. I want to thank the Academy and my mother for that. My mother was a big vitamin person, and she would read and still does all these health things, and I always go to her, and vitamin C was the big one. You must be a little careful, especially if you are a smoker, because apparently vitamin C in excess can actually harm the lungs, along with vitamin E in excess, and it seems to be showing in current research some negatives in overuse.
Okay, you start getting me a little boring or something bored. Okay, honey, I want to just, before Dr. DJ will leave us for, and he will be back next week for another five, I would like to introduce officially Dr. DJ Verrett and Scott Liebfried. This is our chef, celebrity chef, the most cool and gorgeous looking guy with very unusual voice, and he will be teaching us healthy ways of cooking. And I know that these two guys eventually create some amazing book of recipes and just some great advices how to live healthier life. But you know what? I said this out loud, then hopefully this will happen. But for right now, Jonathan, can you introduce officially both of guys and just let Scott to talk to us for a moment?
Yes. Hold on for a second. Scott just left with Scott's the corporate chef over at Fleetwood's on Front Street, and he just left with our chef for 1 second, but let me put him back on the air here.
But I think
you're on with Alone Europa, DJ Verrett, Domenico Capuano, Cher, and Stephanie Mack.
Hello, everybody. How are you today?
Yes, I just missed your voice, but I have recorded. You sent me one great line that I kept it in event that you will be just missing in action, but you are here. I'm so happy. Then we can hear you live. Officially, Dr. DJ Verrett and Scott Liebfried, you both will be working together forever. I have just feelings. Everybody in the studio says hi, and I will say bye to DJ for right now because he probably has patience right now.
I'm still here.
Okay, then you can stay forever with us till the end of the show. Lovely. Okay, Jonathan, take care of the Scott introduction, official Scott introduction.
Nothing more to say other than one of the leading chefs in America, 10 seasons as the sous chef to Gordon Ramsay on Fox's number one show, Hell's Kitchen, Kitchen Nightmares. Travels all over the world. He's sort of the chef's chef, teaching other chefs, opening restaurants. He's currently on Maui with me, opening Fleetwood's on Front Street, the 16,000 square foot restaurant, homage to Mick Fleetwood, founder of Fleetwood Mac. And we have some 110 people in here today on day one of training before we open August 1st on lovely Front Street in Maui, Hawaii. So thrilled to have Scott as our corporate chef. He's training our company chef over here, and then is overseeing all culinary parts of the Fleetwood Empire.
And we are introducing today weekly segment by Scott, Chef Scott, which will be talking about healthy cooking tips. And Scott, take from that. Tell us what you will be talking about today.
Well, we're going to explore the easier parts of what I consider to be healthy and easy cooking. They both go hand in hand to me, and we're going to just give some really useful information out there about how people can provide for themselves at home without having to go through that nasty place that we call the drive-thru, or be able to take the time to actually shop and acquire things for the home that take minimal amount of time to prepare. That are home-cooked meals that are actually good for you.
So we're going to start with Taco Bell.
And eliminate it. One by one, we will... well, I can't say that because then I'll be held liable if something ever does happen to them. So anyway...
Tell us about summer cooking and barbecue. How the heck do you make a good, healthy barbecue meal? What do you do? Is it steak? Is it hamburger? Are those no good? Well, do I have to do chicken the rest of my life?
No. Well, let's open this up for 1 second and say, what's the difference between something that's a better for you meal and a healthy meal? Because there is a difference. And when people start talking about healthy food, the first thing that they automatically assume and go to is that it's not going to taste good. And it all starts with your resources. And grocery stores across the country right now are enabling us to eat grass-fed beef or buffalo, which is a lot less lower in fat than regular ground beef. There's lean ground beef. There's no-fat ground beef. Chicken's always a really good option. But let's eat more seafood. If we start right there, we're doing ourselves, our bodies and our brains a huge favor, and also satisfying our daily nutrients and nutrition without really actually worrying about everything that we eat. So we're going to, over the next few weeks, explore just some really easy ideas and simple ideas that you can do at home with things that are readily available and around you in order to just eat better for you types of foods.
DJ, are you still with us?
I am here.
What do you think about it? Yes.
I love it, and actually, I can personally attest to the range-fed beef over corn-fed beef. There is a huge difference, and it's extremely tasty.
What's this upside of fish from a doctor's standpoint? I mean, the whole dream here is to put together one of the greatest doctors we have and one of the greatest chefs we have, and play this out to get to reality instead of sort of the doctors trying to teach cooking and the chefs trying to teach health. So Scott's making a claim that fish is better for us. Is it really better for us, doctor, and why?
Well, it's everything in moderation, and I think Scott would completely agree with it. You want a well-balanced meal. And overall, though, fish is full of nutrients. You know, you look at the Alaskan Eskimo people, and they survive on fish and whale and things that they get out of the sea. And overall, they're actually very healthy people. They're high in antioxidants, like the omega-3s, obviously fish oils. It's a very nutritious food, and I think Scott would probably agree, I eat a lot, and surprisingly in Dallas we get a lot of flown in fresh fish, and this time of year we're getting a lot of different salmon that comes in. I eat a lot of salmon at home that's very easy to fix, and I'm always amazed that they have the Pacific fresh caught salmon right next to the Atlantic salmon that says with color added, and they're able to sell the Atlantic salmon because the Pacific salmon is just so, it's very flavorful, very easy to prepare, and very high in nutrient value.
Wonderful. We have 2 minutes. Ron and from LA Talk Radio just warns us before CBS News are coming. Then, I would like to finish the two beautiful segments together. You guys are just amazing. I think the amount of knowledge that we'll get from both of you, how to live healthier and happier and be more beautiful because of that too, live longer, and it just seems like it's not so hard. It's all about choices. And we have both of you on our Accent On show. We have John Johnson, who will take care of our soul thoughts, and we have, of course, our always great guests who are giving us accented sometimes topics, and sometimes just all about art and music and show. But show, that life is just beautiful, and it's all about choices and food, as we love to eat. Then I'm coming back.
And I am definitely excited to hear the stuff Scott can cook up for us, because it is. It's great whenever you eat well, look well, feel well, and it works well.
And from time to time, we'll be begging you, Scott, to give us some recipes that we can post on Accent On Facebook page and just get our listeners healthier and happier. And that's all. Are you okay with this, Scott?
I'm excited and looking forward to it. If there's any opportunity to get people to just eat a little bit better, then a mission accomplished, in my opinion.
Welcome to Accent On. We love you. We love all of you. And till next time, Jonathan, I love you too. And hopefully see you soon.
Love you, dear.
And thank you for being with us. And till next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa and Jonathan Todd, right here on LA Talk Radio.